Thank you, Jesus, for your word. You got your Bible here this morning. Let's open it up. We're going to go to the New Testament. We're going to go to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 11. If you're here this morning and you don't have a Bible, look under the chair in front of you. There's a pew Bible. And you would turn that to page 689, Matthew chapter 11. We'll look at together. Just want to give us a bit of context before we jump into the story. So we see Jesus in this point in the story through Matthew's eyes is preaching and teaching in the area of Galilee. He's instructing his disciples. And then John the Baptist at that point, he's actually been in prison. I'll tell you a little bit about John the Baptist. John the Baptist and Jesus' mothers were cousins, so it kind of made them second cousins. And John the Baptist had followers because he was out in the wilderness and people were coming to him and he was baptizing them. And now that he's in prison, he sends his disciples to talk to Jesus because he obviously can't go himself because of the stories that he's hearing. You know, John's in prison and his disciples are coming and telling him about things that Jesus is doing and he's interested, he wants to know more. So John sends his disciples to get a report about what Jesus was doing. And the report is, if we were to read in a little bit of Matthew 11, is that Jesus was healing the sick. He was raising the dead. He was opening the eyes. He was fixing, you know, people that had lame legs or hands. And so we see that that is a prophetic fulfillment that we would find in the Old Testament. If we were to go to the Old Testament, it all points to Jesus. Everything that is prophetically said, if we looked into the book of Isaiah quickly, Isaiah 35, you can turn there if you want. I'm just going to say it. Verse 5, then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer and the mute tongue will shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. These are the kinds of things that Jesus was fulfilling in the New Testament. And John was very interested in that. It's so important to understand though too, because Matthew's gospel wants to just glean and hear from the whole Old Testament as he shares his story. And so we know that Jesus is fulfilling it. And it's so important to understand that Jesus is healing and helping the oppressed or the hurting people, those that are broken, those are poor in spirit, all these kind of things. What he's not saying, which I love this, John's disciples did not go back and tell Jesus that he was overthrowing the government, that he was setting up a political kingdom, that he was, you know, opposing authorities. No, Jesus came for people, hurting people. Broken people, and that's the message that you and I need to hear. Yeah, we might not agree with the government. Get in line. We haven't agreed with the government for thousands of years. Maybe we don't like the speed limit either. That's just reality. You're going to have to slow down. I apologize. You know, I like driving fast too, but whatever it is, we're here to spread the gospel. We're here to find and help people get to know Jesus. We're here to help people get saved and set free. You can have your line in the sand or your mountain that you want to die in with the authorities. Great, but the purpose of Jesus is to help us in our time of need. And we are in need, and we are in desperate need of a move of Jesus. So now that we've got a bit of context, let's start reading. Matthew chapter 11, verse 7. It says, as John's disciples were leaving, because Jesus had just had a conversation, they were going back to tell John of the things that Jesus were doing, Jesus began to speak to the crowd that was there about John. Now, he wasn't talking behind his back. You know, let's not go there. What did you go out into the desert to see? He's asking the people. Listen to that. He's going to say it three times. A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? Well, you know, John the Baptist was like dressed in like camel's hair and a leather belt and was sucking on locusts and honey. You know, like this guy wasn't fine dressed. If you were to find somebody fine dressed, it says those who would be wear fine clothes were in king's palaces, not out in the wilderness. Verse 9 says, then what did you go out to see? Like a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before me. What did they go out to see? What do these religious leaders of the day go out to see, and what are they asking Jesus? I think it's the same question that you and I need to ask. What are we expecting to see? What are we expecting when we open this? What are we expecting when we come to church? What are we expecting out of life? These are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. And the very first thing they said, what did you go out into the desert to see a reed swayed by the wind? We've got to understand what that means. So John is not this way. He's not a reed swayed by the wind. Because if he was, this is what he would be like. He would be weak in character. He'd be uncertain of himself. That would be easily swayed by others' opinions. He wouldn't be grounded and solid in his faith. But it's a symbol of instability and a lack of conviction in someone's life, suggesting that this person may be easily swayed by external circumstances or maybe a health crisis or a financial crisis. We're just easily swayed, you know, like, oh my gosh, where's God in all this? You know, COVID goes down, like, is God still on the throne? These kind of things. We're just swayed by the things of this world. But the crowd here is asking these questions. What did you really go, what did you want to see? What did you expect out here? And the metaphor, again, swayed by the wind, is so important for us to understand that we're grounded, that we don't get swayed so easily. Our commitment is deep. Our foundation is solid. We're built on a rock. These are the kind of things that we do. This is Christianity 101. We're not swayed by opinions or parties or political agendas or trends. We're grounded on the Word of God. And every time we open it, it paves a bigger foundation, almost like at the camp gazebo that burnt to the ground. Praise Jesus, because we needed a bigger one, because that thing was too small in Jesus' name. And it's the same in your life. You might need to burn some things out of your life because God wants to do something bigger in your life. So thank God for tests. Thank God for challenges and struggles, because it rocks our foundation and it makes us kind of double check. Are we going to be swayed by this? Or are we going to stay the course? Are we going to follow him no matter what? I don't know when you come to church and, you know, back in the day, what I was expecting, I didn't maybe receive. When I first got saved, I came to church. I honestly didn't know what I was expecting. I just thought, I'm just going to go to church. I heard that's a good thing to do. And I just remember every time I would just weep for the first few months, every time I walked into church, because I knew I was broken and I needed help. Like, we have to be at that place. If we come here for a flashy sermon, you better go somewhere else. You know, I'm just being honest with you. If you've come here to get a comfortable chair, you probably got that. If you've come here to get a free Bible, you're going to get that. If you've come here for the greatest coffee in Terrace, you know, we're kind of middle of the road. We're about 2 or 3 star coffee here. Like, I don't know why you came here this morning. But if we've come to worship Jesus, you're in the right place. If you're here for any other reason, I want to challenge you to really think through that. To really challenge yourself with that thought. The truth is, when we come here, we want to serve Jesus. We want to honor God. We want his name to be lifted up high. Let me show you just, we're in Matthew chapter 11. Let's just flip over like a page. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 12. So the story is continuing. I know that there's chapters and verses, but this is a continuous story. This is just, you know, Jesus speaking. Things are happening. In verse 12, there's a bit of a story here. I just want to focus on one part of it though. Chapter 12, verse 38. And some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to Jesus, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. And he answered, wicked and adulterous generations ask for a miraculous sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Okay, we're all going to have questions here. Okay, well, what is that? Verse 40, for Jonah was in the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, and the Son of Man will also be in a tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. The men of Nineveh, verse 41, will stand up at the judgment of this generation and condemn it, for they repented. Jonah went to preach the gospel to Nineveh. They heard the gospel message and they repented. They didn't need a miracle. Jonah didn't walk into the city of Nineveh and start doing miraculous signs. Woo! Like a, you know, like a jester or like a puppet. Look at all these cool things that I can do. He's floating around. He's healing people. Things like, he didn't do that. He came and he preached the gospel and people said, wow, we are wrong. We are going the wrong direction and I need to repent of that and I need to get back on track. Because I think if we focus on just miracles, every person here today has had a miracle in their life. Is that why you're here today? I don't know. I know so many people where miracles have been done in their lives, and they still walked away. I shared the story at our water baptism class on Wednesday. But when you go up to Whitehurst, you can visit a friend of mine who's not going to church, who was diagnosed positive, I won't say his name because we're live online, with HIV. Because he was dabbling in things that he shouldn't have. And he came to church weeping and crying, and we prayed for him, lead pastor and myself, prayed, he got healed. Like he went back to the doctor, you know, no more HIV. Like a miracle happened in his life, but he's not serving Jesus to this day. Is the miracle gonna save you? If you come here today thinking like, if God would only do this for me, then I'd be okay, then I would serve him. The problem with that thinking is that you would be worshiping the miracle. You'd be worshiping the thing that you felt like you received versus worshiping and serving him only. We have to serve him no matter what happens in our life. That's what we're called to do. We don't wanna be like a reed swayed back and forth. Because if I think about my life, like, wow, come on guys, like, it is so good here. Like, let's be honest, right? Well, thank you, Jesus. It's been 8 years here. Like, we felt called here. Our family loves it. Like, we got a great roof over our head. We got lots of food on the table, lots of fish and crab and all kinds of things that people take me out. We got berries and we got mushrooms and, you know, pine mushrooms and cauliflower mushrooms. Let me just clarify that because we're online. All these kind of things. Like I got a Honda dealership in my driveway because my wife drives a Honda Odyssey. I drive a Honda, make sure I got this right, Civic, yeah. My youngest son, yeah, drives an Accord. My oldest son drives another Civic. So like we've got a dealership in our yard. Looks like there's always a party at our house, but Honda gave me a discount on my next vehicle once I said that. I apologize, but there you go. But like, what is there to complain about? Like, what do I actually need? Like, I need everything. All of that is materialism. All that's just gonna burn up. All that's useless. As a good friend of mine said, it's gonna burn. You got your 75-inch TV, which I got one now. It's gonna burn. But what won't burn? My relationship with Jesus. Let's not be so swayed so easily when things are good. We get so comfortable. Comfortable Christianity is such an easy trend right now in church. It's easy to be Christian. It's easy to follow him. But you know what's difficult is to confess and repent. That's what's gonna keep you. That's what's gonna sustain you. When you realize that, wow, if the TV ever went, if the vehicle ever broke down, if my health ever, if my family, if my, you know, let's just go on and on. If anything ever happened, that your faith would never change. That's what we're talking about here. Don't be so easily swayed. Stay the course. What are you asking for today when you came to church? Our goal, our objective, our target is to worship him, to hear his word. We sing songs that are based off of his word. That's why we came today. Yes, we're gonna have fellowship. Yes, we're a family. Yes, we, as you saw this morning, I'm exhausted. I almost ran out of words to say, just praying for all these families and babies and dedications and birthdays and all these, you know, announcements I had to bring. It was great, yay, awesome. But we don't worship that kind of stuff. We worship Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross for us because we're broken and we need help. And so I pray this morning that as we go into our time in just a moment, we have a time of reflection. So we worship together, right? We worship in singing. We worship as Amelie read scripture. We worship as we hear a sermon. And we also worship when we're quiet and we're listening. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to us? So we've all come here with a need this morning and Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. So we have to just allow him to minister. He's the voice that you want to hear this morning. I'm grateful that God has given me the capacity or the ability to minister to this church. But I want you to hear in my voice every time, what is God saying? What is God doing? How is he working in your life?